We're continuing our walk through the book of Acts this morning, looking to discover life in the Spirit. Today's September 1st, the year 2019. I titled the message, The Apostles Arrested. Took it from Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 33. When I sat down and laid out all of the scripture texts for the rest of the year, this was the first one, and I kind of oopsed. None of the rest of them are even a third this big, but I guess I was a little stiff getting started, so this one's a little long. The apostles are arrested. My outline is number one, the apostles meet an angel of the Lord. Number two, the apostles did what they had been told. And number three, the apostles and the Holy Spirit witness. So the apostles have done many miraculous sights and wonders among the people. That was the scene when we left them last week. Crowds gathered from towns around Jerusalem. They brought sick and those who had been suffering from evil spirits. And all of them were healed. Everybody who came with a demon walked away without it. Everyone who came with a physical ailment walked away without it. And many of them jumped and skipped and run because they couldn't do that before the apostles touched them. Things are going so well for our brothers and sisters in the new church. Our enemy Satan doesn't like that. He doesn't like it when things are going really well. Now, the reality is, in God's grand drama, there's events that he allows Satan to cause believers to experience some uncomfortable situations. Satan doesn't get to do anything without God letting him do it. Oldest book in the Bible is Job, and it's really perfectly clear from the first book ever written that Satan makes deals with God to get to do stuff, and God usually uses those things for his glory and his benefit. Now, today's scripture account, there's a conflict between righteousness, goodness, love, generosity, and they meet face to face with evil. So, number one, the apostles meet an angel of the Lord. How cool is that? Just how cool would it be to meet an angel of the Lord? Tradition has it that it's Gabriel that they meet. When you read the old writings, they figure it's either Gabriel or Michael, but because there isn't any conflict, they say it's probably Gabe. But the archangel Gabriel came and met these guys. So here's what I want you to read with me. Acts chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Let's read. The high priest and all his companions were Sadducees. They were very jealous of the apostles. So they arrested them and they put them into a public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord came. He opened the prison doors and brought the apostles out. Go, stand in the temple courtyard, the angel said. Tell the people about this new life, the end. How cool is that? A, the Sadducees were a little bit jealous, let's say, of the apostles, huh? By the time we get to the end of the scripture, they are extraordinarily jealous. First, remember, Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection or life after death. At that time, there were Pharisees and Sadducees, and the Apostle Paul, who did most of the writing of the New Testament, was a Pharisee, so our doctrine is one of resurrection of the dead. But the Sadducees didn't believe in this. And their famous question, when Jesus was on trial the last 7 days of his life, they came to him and said, "Where does it say in the Old Testament there's a resurrection of the dead?" They thought they had him stumped because they had studied the books over and over and never found what he said. Well, when Moses met God, how did God introduce himself? And one of the teachers was brave enough to say, well, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, he's the God of the living, not the dead. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are living. Shut them down. We believe in a resurrection of the dead, but they don't. Now, is that still a popular belief system in our world today? Basically, when you're dead, right? You probably know people that believe that. It's just like anything else. When you die, it's all over. Why do they believe that? Because there's no God. If there's no God, then there's no resurrection. So if you just dead, you're dead. Who needs a God for that, right? That's primarily, I think, why people don't believe in an afterlife. Now, the apostles were teaching and witnessing that Jesus had broken the power of death. Can you see the problem here between him and the Sadducees? Can you see why they're jealous? Now, second, the apostles are extremely popular. The high priest will actually say, everybody in Jerusalem is talking about the teachings that you are doing. Extraordinarily popular. And these boys did not like that. The Sadducees, with their religious pride, were extremely jealous. They were losing control over the people rapidly. Their evil plan to murder Jesus and put an end to his ministry had backfired. Instead of getting smaller, it was getting bigger. It's like, oh, bother. We killed the guy thinking we were going to fix it, but he came back from the dead, and now we got a bigger mess than before. The good Lord's grand drama has some interesting scenes in it here. B on your outline. The angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought the apostles out. Opened doors are your two blanks. He opened the doors. Dan and Tammy and I went to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. And one of their great evangelistic tools is the doors of the Bible. And they preach that standing at Noah's door coming into the Ark. And it's about three times the size of that door there. You got to get dinosaurs and elephants and dragons through it. So it's a pretty good sized door. But right there, they talk with people and share with people and their imagery that there are doors to heaven, and the one door to salvation is Jesus Christ and him alone. They do a really good job at presenting that in several ways, but they did it with doors. So here the angels are opening doors. Try to imagine that scene. Try to put yourself into this. You and your friends are in a dark, dirty prison cell. It's the middle of the night. No candles, no windows, no light. You're sitting there in a dark, dingy prison cell. And all of a sudden, Gabriel is standing there. Good morning, gentlemen. It's time for us to leave. Probably about the same thing that he did when he reached down and took the cloth off of Jesus' face and said, sir, it's time to get up. And Jesus rose from the dead. So they meet Gabriel in the cell, and if you remember the account in Easter, there it came out, in Easter, when they show up, it's like lightning. So from a dark, dingy cell to you can't keep your eyes open from the brightness, good morning, it's time to go, gentlemen. He opens the prison doors, brings the apostles out. Can you imagine you're walking with him past the guards and out into the street? Can you see yourself following an angel? The doors just open all by themselves. You walk right past the guards and they don't see you. Can any of you imagine Andrew just walking up to one of the guards and going? Andrew is always getting into stuff. He's one of my favorite disciples. He's always leading into things. I can just see him walking up, just waving his hands in front of one of the big guards like, huh, right? See on your outline, go tell the people about this new life. Your two blanks are go tell. I think that's it. All these books we're reading, all these lists that we're working on, I think that's what we're told to do. It's really simple. Go tell people about this new life that Jesus provides. I think that's it. I believe that's what we're seeking for ourselves. We wouldn't be here if we weren't seeking something different, something new, something beyond ourselves. That's what I'm reading in A.W. Tozier's book, Life in the Spirit. He writes, the normal Christian life is one filled and controlled by God's Holy Spirit. He writes, that's supposed to be the normal Christian life. Then he goes on to say, it's not typical these days, but that's God's normal for Christians. Do you read that also? God's plan for a normal everyday Christian is a new and different life. And his primary question in that section of his book is, do you want this? Do you want this new life? That's his starting place. Do you really want this Holy Spirit-controlled life? And he goes through the things that you'll have to let go of in order to experience that. And that's the starting point. Do you really want it? Or are you just good where you are? And what he wrote several years ago in Chicago in his church was, most people are gonna say, we're good. I don't need any more of that Holy Spirit stuff. I'm good the way I am. Got my life together. Got everything I need. Things are going my way. I don't need this Holy Spirit-controlled life. I'm good. And he said, that's what most people are going to do. I hope that we are the exception to that. This is the key. Do you really want to change? Honestly, do I want to be different? When you ask yourself that question, do you really want to change? Do you really want to be different? Do you really want to be transformed? Number two on my outline, the apostles did what they had been told. Here's what I want you to read with me, Acts chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Let's read. Early the next day, they did what they had been told. They entered the temple courtyard. There they began to teach the people. The high priest and his companions arrived. They called the Sanhedrin together. The Sanhedrin was the gathering of the elders of Israel. They sent for the apostles who were in prison. The officers arrived at the prison, but they didn't find the apostles there. So they went back and reported it. We found the prison locked up tight, they said. The guards were standing at the doors, but the doors we didn't find anyone inside. When the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard this report, they were bewildered, and they wondered what would happen next. Then someone said, look, these men are put in prison are standing in the temple courtyard. They're teaching the people. The end. That green kind of works. A, early is your blank. Early, the apostles did what they had been told. Literally, they were standing at the east door of the temple when the priest came and unlocked the door. I've been to Jerusalem, and it's a big ceremony, and it's a big key, and there is a tribe of Israelites that get the privilege of unlocking the door every day. And it's a lot of pomp and circumstance, and it's a great big key. And it's a great big blinking door. You could drive a semi through this thing. Being a carpenter's kid, I was fascinated. I had to go check out the hinges. I mean, how do you have that massive of a door and this weaselly old guy can open it easily? So, you know, I had to grab it, pull it back and forth a little bit, see how it worked. But they were standing at the door when the temple door opened. Try to imagine what's going on with them. And it's really good to note that they just went to work with no fanfare. They just experienced an archangel leading them out of prison, invisible to all the guards. And they just go to work the next morning like, just another day. No fanfare, no pomp, no big. They just go do what they're told to do. Later, the high priest and his companions arrive. Traditionally, they wait till the temple was very busy with people seeking God to make a grand entrance. And they loved it. They had their robes and their tassels and their walking sticks that are really fancy, all gold inlaid and everything. And they like to parade through the people and get the accolades of, oh, high priest, oh, Sadducee, oh, you know, all the jibber jabber. They love the fanfare, the applause, the crowd. The apostles just got there at sunrise and went to work. No fanfare, no pomp. I thought about some of the churches that I've been a part of. When the service starts, there's this big do-do-do-do. And the priest comes in with his robes and all of his stuff. Oh, look it, I'm here. Aren't I wonderful? Right? Where'd they get that? Those guys. B, the apostles were teaching the people. So when they go to work, they teach the people. Now, what do you think they're teaching the people? They're teaching them something, right? What do you think they're teaching them? What's your thoughts? Do you think they're sharing their testimony of their 3 a.m. walk with Gabriel? You wouldn't believe what happened to us last night. Wow! Right? In the day that I live in, if somebody experienced that and went to work at church the next morning, that's what they're going to talk about. My experience. What happened to me? Woohoo! Or do you think they were talking about Jesus? What do you think? Were they talking about their experience, or were they talking about this new revolutionary resurrection life? Went past a casino the other night with my brother, and I said, you ever been there? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got really loose slots there. I've been there a lot of times. I always win money when I go there. Okay. Revolutionary resurrection life. If I was betting, I would bet they were not talking about the walk with Gabe. I bet they were talking about Jesus Christ. I think that's what they were talking about. They were teaching the people about this resurrection-empowered Holy Spirit life, not what's going on with them. Number three, the apostles and the Holy Spirit witness. So here's what I want you to read, Acts chapter 5, 26 to 33 with me. Let's do it. So the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles back. They did not use force. They were afraid the people would kill them by throwing stones at them. They brought the apostles to be judged by the Sanhedrin. The high priest questioned them. We gave you clear orders not to teach in Jesus' name, he said. But you filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You want to make us guilty of this man's death. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God instead of people. You had Jesus killed by nailing him to a cross. But God of our people raised Jesus from the dead. Now Jesus is Prince and Savior. God has proved this by giving him a place of honor at his own right hand. He did it so that he could turn Israel from their sins and forgive them. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. God has given the Spirit to those who obey him. When the leaders heard this, they became very angry, and they wanted to put the apostles to death. The end for today. Wow. Do you find those scriptures a little interesting, maybe even a little exciting? To have the guts to stand up to these guys and say, you murdered him by nailing him to a cross. Flat out, no question. Oh, that's guts. Try to imagine the lives of the apostles on this day. When the apostles were with the people, the armed guards of the temple were in fear for their life. When they went to where the apostles are meeting with these thousands of believers, the armed guards were terrified that if they mess up, they're going to stone us to death. Well, after Peter's speech, the apostles were in fear of their life because these Sadducees were tearing their robes, yelling and screaming, you know, they've got to die for this blasphemy, right? What a day. They're violent days. Do you read it that way also? They're exciting days, but not peaceful. Most of the commentaries that I read on this section of the scriptures talked about how unsettling it is in the day that we live in. If you obey God, you're going to get all the blessings, all the good stuff, and nothing bad's going to happen to you. And that's not the way this is written. These guys are living it out flawless. If they didn't, they end up like Ananias and Sapphira. If they don't tell the truth, they die. They're living it righteously. And yet, it's not peaceful. It's not all going the right way by today's standards. A, the apostles replied, "We must obey God." Must obey is your blank. Could you say that also? I have no other choice but to obey God. Could you honestly say that? Not me. I would like to say that's true of my life all the time. But I don't always obey. They did. We can. And I have the want to, but I just haven't figured out how to make it all walk out and work yet. But I want to live that way. I want to change. You? Or are you good? So, what are we saying? Captain Obvious is, it's obviously not all the man-made rules of the church of that time. When they say we gotta obey God, it's not all of the other commandments that they added on to the Ten Commandments. That's obvious. How many of us would say it was Jesus told them? That's what they gotta obey. Give your life away. Love like no one you've ever seen. Love unconditionally. Believe in me. Surrender your life to the Spirit. I think that's it. I think that's what they were trying to get across to the people. Trying to get across to these leaders. This is Jesus' life. Give, love, believe, surrender. B, the apostles were witnesses. Jesus is Prince and Savior. Two blanks, Prince, Savior. Now, probably you're on board with Jesus, Savior. Probably on board, pretty comfortable with that. But Prince? What's up with that? Why did they call him that? Jesus is Savior. He did this so he could turn Israel away from sins and forgive them. This is us, too. As your vision group got together the other night, sitting around my new room talking about where we want to try to lead the church, Marty's testimony was that. I think, he said, a critical component of what needs to happen is an ongoing, everyday repentance of sins in our life. A purification, an ongoing repentance. And he's right. I think that's part of what needs to happen in our lives for God to change us and to change our church, is repentance, change. Now, the Holy Spirit said Prince, not Lord. Why? Why did he do that? cuts to the core of their job security if he is Prince and Lord. See on your outline, God gives his spirit to those who obey. So you got two blanks. Gives and obey. You could put another four-letter word in there, love. All synonymous. Love and obey. This seems to be a key to experience the Holy Spirit. Obedience. A.W. Tozier writes, I'm afraid that my listeners might have gotten the idea that I had, I really enjoyed putting all these hash marks in, how to be filled with the Spirit in five easy lessons doctrine. That was just plain fun to type. He said, I'm sorry. I don't have a how to be filled with the Holy Spirit in five easy steps. I thought, oh. And then I get to the end of that same chapter and that same message that he preached in Chicago. And he writes, first, you got to present your body. Romans 12, 1 and 2. What's that say? I urge you, brothers, because of the mercy of God, to present your lives as living sacrifices. Don't be conformed anymore to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah. That's a good place to start. Start with your body. Present it to God as a living sacrifice, not a dead critter on an altar, but a living sacrifice. Number two is to ask. How simple. Ask. Luke 11, 9 through 13. He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. Everyone who seeks finds. Everybody who knocks open. Your heavenly Father is a good Father. If even you fathers, you wouldn't give your son a snake, you would give him a fish. So if you evil men give good gifts, won't your heavenly Father give you much better? Ask him. Present your body, ask him. Three, Acts 5:32 tells us the third thing to do. We just read it. What is it? Obey God. That's one of the steps. That's part of it. Obey what you know. The next thing is to have faith. Galatians 3:2. Didn't you receive the Holy Spirit? Let me start over. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying God, or you receive him by believing what you heard? Butchered that one up reading it. But essentially, the faith in what you heard. And that works with us. What the Bible is telling us, if we believe that, put our faith in it, that's a big step. So, we may never get to experience a dirty jail or meeting Gabriel face to face. Odds are, or go on trial for what we believe. But we can witness to what we believe. We can work on our own personal attitude. Our own personal actions to present the resurrection life as we understand it to people. We can obey. We have a free will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, loving and gracious God, as we bow before you this morning, we honor you and we glorify you. We rejoice in the fun of you and your angels setting free these apostles and the courage that they demonstrated. Thank you for their witness and testimony. May your spirit inspire us to live like them, totally surrendered and dependent on you, my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.